This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 119 of the USDF's official podcast. I'm Chris Stafford, and on the show this week, we'll be hearing from Cindy Jackson, who took part as a demo rider in the second of the two Adequan USDF FEI level trainers conferences, which was held at the El Sueno Equestrian Center in front of over 170 auditors. Also, Michael Bragdell will be here with the second part of his two-part series on the USDF's Youth Dressage Sport Horse Breeder Handler Seminar session. So that's coming up later on in the program. But first of all, the USDF's Instructor Trainer Programs Examiner Gerhard Politz is here to share further thoughts on his article on straightening the horse that he wrote for the USDF Connection magazine's March edition. Where would you like to begin with that as an introduction, Gerhard?
Well, straightness is one of the key elements that affords a horse, allows a horse to be collected. So if you don't have a straight horse, collection will be very difficult to achieve, if not impossible. So it's one of the key elements that we need in order to make a horse truly supple and athletic and balanced equally in both directions.
Well, let's start from the beginning, taking a young horse, Gerhard, and when you would actually start to educate it in how to be straight, what would be the first principles?
Well, it's interesting, in the training scale, the straightness element is next to the top, right below collection. Now, this can be a bit misleading, but we all know that the elements of the training scale are all interrelated and codependent. So if we see it at the top, that's actually also a bit misleading. The sooner we start addressing straightness with a young horse, the less trouble we have as his education continues. So when you start a horse correctly on the lunge line, for instance, habitually many people just attach the lunge line to the bit rings. And that's where you run first into trouble. Most people don't really understand how the weight of the lunge line and the pulling on the bit affects the horse's mouth. Not only does this kind of connection to the bit destroy the sensitivity in the horse's mouth, but the horse gets defensive. And sometimes trainers don't even understand and recognize that is in fact taking place. So when you lunge a horse, you should always do with a lunging caparison, and you should attach the lunge line to the center bit ring, to the center ring of the lunging caparison, not to the bit at all. And the side reins is also much better if you attach them to the lunging caparison itself and not to the bit rings. And in my article, I'm very clear about why you shouldn't do that. And I'll be quickly explaining that here. So if, for instance, your horse is hollow on his right side and you attach the lunge line to the right bit ring, he will want to avoid taking that contact, and he will do what comes naturally, bend his neck to the right much more than he should. And then when you switch directions, you go to the left, and you have the lunge line now attached to the left bit ring, then he wants to grab the contact and stiffen his jaw against it. So if you persist with that method, you already have made your horse very unequal in the contact. And that's why, certainly for quite a few weeks, if not months, you should never attach the side reins to the bit reins. And also make sure the horse goes very forward on the lunge line with a good length of side rein so he can stretch his nose out front of the vertical. And that kind of attachment and forward thinking in trot and canter on the lunge will at least encourage him that all the muscles his back are stretched as evenly as possible.
And now, what kind of exercises would you do then at that with that very young horse, Gerhard?
Well, there's not a lot in the way of exercises. One important thing is that you teach the horse to go out to the contact of the lunge line. And for that, you need to have a line that's long enough so you can make a 20-meter circle. But also, it's important to have a whip that is long enough to reach him so that he stays out on that 20-meter circle. So as a trainer, you should learn to pivot so that you're not walking about, and therefore, if you walk about, you never make a proper circle. That's just a given. Whereas if you pivot and you observe that you have the horse connected on the lunge line to the cabochon, and the whip encourages him to go on a correct 20-meter circle, that's the best way to start with your young horse before you mount. And then, of course, intermittently in the training as well, whenever you feel there is a good reason to lunge, actually with a young horse, you should do that maybe a little bit before you mount anyhow to get him relaxed. But that's basically what you should do. Now, later on, when the horse is more advanced, you can, but that's not what you would do with a young horse, but when he is more advanced, you can spiral into the circle, make it like a 10-meter vault, and spiral out again. But that's more appropriate when the horse is working up towards second level or so. Certainly not what you would do with a young horse.
Well, let's look at the horse that you're riding on, that's been lunged, and you've got him going, and you're establishing what you established on the lunge, I should say, that you're then continuing under saddle and to maintain that straightness. Talk about some of the exercises, what you would do there, and how to avoid any potential stiffness on one side.
Well, that's exactly right. You would, from mounting, you would ride the horse also on 20-meter circles, certainly not smaller than that in the beginning, and going large around the arena, or not necessarily arena, but riding in the countryside, you know, hacking hills and all that kind of thing, giving him plenty of variety is always what I would want to do with a young horse. And we are very fortunate here at Flint Ridge Riding Club to have a large area, we call it the hunt field, which is slightly up and downhill. It has jumps. And so we can give our horses here plenty of variety, and no way would you ever work with horses in the dressage ring all the time. Variety is the spice of life, and that is certainly true when you're training a horse, be that dressage or whatever else. I am certainly not an advocate to ride in the arena too much. That comes much later in the horse's training, and even then, a good old gallop uphill and walking up and down hills is really, really good for any horse, even horses that do Grand Prix. So, but getting back to your question, having lunged the horse now, he knows how to carry himself in good balance on the lunge line on a circle. You would want to pursue exactly the same thing when you have mounted him, and using long lines and not insisting on going into the corners as much, because if you force a young horse to go into the corner like you would with an older horse, then he will lose his balance and he will learn all sorts of evasions like swinging out with the haunches, falling on the outside shoulder, and so forth. Also, it would be not beneficial to his training if you would force him into bending on the stiffer side. So the idea would be that, for instance, you have a horse that's hollow on his right side. You would want to keep his neck more or less straight when you're tracking to the right and not use a lot of right rein to say, well, I want to bend to the right, because he will want to bend to the right easily anyhow. So if you're using a lot of right rein, you will cause him to buzz and fall out through his left shoulder, and that is to really be avoided. You also want to use your right leg a little bit like a leg yielding aid to make sure that his right hind leg sort of travels a little bit in the direction of his left shoulder. In fact, so using diagonal aids on his hollow side is very important to teach him to find a balance that he by nature would not be so eager to accept. Now, in the other direction, the aids are very dissimilar. So if you're going to the left, you will want to use your left leg more at the girth and your outside leg quite nicely behind the girth to prevent the right leg from swinging outward or falling out, which the right hind leg would love to do. But you want to make sure that you have good contact in your right rein, which would be the outside rein when you're going to the left, and flex and then yield a lot with your inside left rein. So when you're tracking to the left, you will want to make sure that you maintain a supple and consistent contact on the right rein, because you want the horse to take the contact on the right, which by nature he would not be inclined to do, to take contact on the right. And on the left side, you would have to flex and then yield the left rein, almost a little bit like a rein release, so that you don't make it easy for him to get locked up on his left side and clinch his jaw on the left rein. So those are very rudimentary things you do with the young horse. Now, as the training progresses, of course, it's very useful to teach him leg yielding so that you can actually move his haunches in any way that is necessary. So you would also realize that, say, for instance, a horse stiff on the stiff on his left side, that it's much easier for him to cross with his left hind. But the horse that is hollow on the right, he has difficulty crossing with his right hind, and he will want to bend his neck too much. So these are all evasions that you would soon realize give you a good idea what the horse's problems are, and then you have to understand how to fix it. And in my article, I give you lots of advice how to address that, because the aids have to be given somewhat differently according to which direction the horse is going. For instance, we always say, well, lateral work is a very good method to straighten the horse. And that is, of course, very true, but you have to know how to ride it. You can't just say, okay, my horse is hollow on his right side, so I ride shoulder in on the right. And, of course, I have to ride shoulder in to the left as well. That's very true, because we have to gymnasticize our horses in both directions. However, if your horse is hollow right, the aids for shoulder in right are different than you would give them on the left rein. For instance, it's best not to give too much angle. So when you are schooling a horse in shoulder in, a horse that is hollow on his right side, you should really think more about shoulder four. And the reason to this is that if you are riding the conventional angle in shoulder in, your horse will immediately want to bend his neck too much to the right. Now, your left rein has to make sure that that doesn't happen, and you should not allow him to push through his left shoulder. So half halting, having an elastic left rein, is very important. The other very important aid is the inside leg aid. So your right leg should come somewhat behind the girth, very similar to leg yielding, but not clearly a leg-yielding aid. So it's very important to ensure that your right leg causes the horse to stretch the right side of his body to the right rein. So your right rein has to be passive to allow the horse to take that contact, which he would hate to take. So the forward driving aid with your right leg, your inside leg, is very important, as well as the control of his left shoulder. So the aspect of diagonal aid on the horse's hollow side are very, very important to encourage the horse to open up his somewhat constricted right side. So now the aids for the left shoulder aid are completely different. So when you're riding shoulder in left on the horse that is hollow right, it's actually a good idea to have the angle somewhat large and to make sure that he takes contact on the right way. And your left brain should be flexing a lot and then lightening again in the sense of brain release, so that he has no chance to get locked up on his left brain, but it is encouraged to take contact on the right brain. Now, your right leg has the job of preventing the right hind from swinging outward, so that the right hind is also more forward-thinking and not sideways tracking. So as a trainer and rider, you have to be very much aware how to apply your aids somewhat differently according to the needs of the horse.
Thank you very much indeed for that, Gerhard. We appreciate you taking the time to come on the program.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
And you can find a link accompanying the show notes to this podcast for the March edition of the USDF Connection magazine right here on the USDF.org website, leading to the podcast. And you can also download the new USDF app that will give you full access to all the USDF publications and media. Cindy Jackson from Phoenix, Arizona, is a USDF L graduate and USDF bronze, silver, and gold medalist. And she was one of eight riders that were chosen to participate in the two-day conference with Stephen Clark, the second of the two Adequan USDF FEI level trainers conferences that were offered this year, which took place on March the 14th and 15th. There were over 170 auditors attending the conference, which took place at the El Sueno Equestrian Center. Welcome to the program, Cindy.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, it was quite an experience, I understand, being part of that trainers conference. What prompted you in the first place to participate in this?
Well, my horse, Thoroughmore, and I are a new partnership. Got him in from the PSI auction in early December, and he shipped the day before Christmas. So we're fairly new to each other, and we are starting our show season now coming, not this weekend, but next. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to get him off the property, take him to a new place, see how he does in a new facility, and also get some great help from Stephen Clark. So it seemed like a win-win to get, you know, a judge's point of view of kind of where we're at right now with our training, and give us some pointers on things we can improve so that we can put together our best performance for the FEI Young Horse competitions here coming up.
Were you familiar with Stephen's style then, and his judging and so on, Cindy, before
with the
you
judging, with the judging, yes. I've never actually trained with him. I had done, back when I was, I think, 19 years old with my quarter horse Tennessee Walker horse that I still own, my first horse. I did like a USDF, it was when they introduced the new test, and I was a test rider, like, you know, for showing the new test, like a demo rider for that. And he was doing that with Janet Brown over at Central Arizona Riding Academy quite a while ago, almost 20 years ago probably. And I rode with him then for that demo rider, and he coached just for a few minutes after my ride, you know, helped me with my pirouettes on my little horse at the time. So that's the only exposure I'd had to him as far as coaching goes, but I really liked his style and just his personality. You know, he's certainly very knowledgeable, so I thought it would be a great opportunity to get that exposure.
So what is it about his style then? Because we know he's enormously popular around the world as a judge and trainer, but what was it that resonated for you?
You know, I think he's very even-tempered and has a little bit of wit to him. So there's, you know, it makes it fun. But just very encouraging, very positive. And I felt like he really emphasizes what the positives are in the horse and helps you grow with that. You know, he certainly was willing to, you know, get after us about the things that we needed to fix. You know, I certainly didn't avoid anything, but I thought it was a very positive style of teaching and very classical, you know, very correct in what I was hoping to get from him, you know, with, you know, having the horse's frames in the correct position, and the exercises were very, for me, very simple, but useful. So you didn't feel like you left thinking your mind was blown with, you know, all kinds of new information, but it really stayed in line for me with the direction we were heading. It just really fine-tuned quite a few things for me with this horse.
Well, this is a fairly new partnership, as you said, with this horse.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about him, his age, and the experience that he'd had before you got in the tack.
He's just turned 5 in February, and he's by Sanamor out of a De Niro mare. And like I said, we got him at the PSI auction in December. I had some clients that decided they wanted to purchase a nice horse that we could do enjoy the whole journey together, by a young horse that they could enjoy the process, because they're new into horses and they think it's a really amazing sport of what these horses learn. And they thought it would be a great opportunity to buy a youngster and bring it along through the levels. So we started with, you know, he was 4 at the time that we got him. And I think before us, I think he had done maybe the 4-year-old classes at the Boudinot Championnat. And that was about it. He doesn't have much show experience. But we are going to dive in here at the San Juan Capistrano show next weekend and see what we've got. So, but he's a super talented horse and just a really fun personality and really teachable and just really the most pleasurable horse I've ever had to ride. Like, I just have never sat on anything with quite this much talent and capability before. So it's very exciting for me as a rider.
So going into the trainers conference then, what did you have in mind that you wanted to work on and for Stephen to focus on that would help you most at this stage of his career?
Well, you know, again, as I'm approaching these shows, I really just wanted to make sure that I have the frame in just the right positioning, you know, for the showing purposes, and just make sure that I had all the details of the test kind of organized. So I was happy that they let us ride the test with the conference, and that they helped us kind of on the details of that. You know, they kind of took what we had from the test that maybe wasn't as good, and then we helped kind of zero in on that with the training afterwards throughout the next, you know, day and a half of work. So, you know, just some little things about, you know, keeping his pole in just the right position for me, you know, making sure the transitions are clear enough and engaged enough. And, you know, he's got a really incredible trot, but because I didn't have the frame quite where it needed to be up enough, I wasn't able to tap into the expression that he's going to have for his medium trot. So when we made the little adjustment with the frame and worked a little bit within the shoulder 4 on the long side and then going out of the shoulder 4 to a medium back to shoulder 4, that really helped get the trot more expressive for me too, because his basic collected trot is really nice, but I wasn't quite getting to the medium trot that he's going to have, you know. So that was helpful in kind of tapping into that for me.
And we know that Stephen is all about the basics, of course, as you said, classical dressage in its purest
Absolutely.
Form. Was there anything at the walk that you had to establish that he teased out, Cindy?
Say that again.
At the walk, was there anything at the walk that Stephen teased out to improve?
For the walk, you know, the horse's walk, he's got an incredible walk and a super huge overstep. And the only thing, adjustments that he made really with the walk for me was I was actually maybe over pushing the free walk, extended walk a little bit too much. So he had me just to let the horse be in a little bit more of a natural tempo in the walk. And then the other question that I had within the conference was, you know, with the frame for my medium walk, you know, how high to bring the pole up for that part of the work as well. So he helped me make a little adjustment there too, because I was keeping the neck still, I think, a little bit too low for my medium walk work in the work. So.
And how about the lateral work too? I mean, especially with a young horse, that's often helpful to have someone on the ground, a new set of eyes to, you know, to get the angles right and to fine tune that.
We didn't do much besides shoulder in as far as the lateral work goes, just because he is, like I said, an FEI 5-year-old young horse. So he's doing, you know, even in the young horse test, they don't even actually have any real lateral work for us. But like I said, he schooled us with like the shoulder in to the medium to the shoulder in. So we did some of that work. And then, you know, within the canter, You know, we did a little bit more shoulder forward thinking just so that I could get a better connection from the inside, like through the outside rein within the canter,
right.
You know, to get the horse a little bit more engaged. But we didn't school like into travers or half pass or anything like that for our lessons at that time. Right. So the horse is starting to school some of that, but I think he was focusing more in this clinic for this horse, at least for us. The quality, you know, getting even better quality of gait so that we could really show the horse to the best of his potential for the classes we have coming up in a couple of weeks.
And how did the horse take the atmosphere and the crowds and the different kind of focus for him?
Oh, he was incredible. He was incredible. He was just a total babe. He was just a remarkable temperament on this young horse, you know. I knew that when I saw him in the auction environment with all the hype and all of the excitement there. You know, seeing him in that environment, I knew he was going to be able to handle a high energy, you know, situation like that. And I was pleased that, you know, he did. He was very, you know, the very first day coming in the ring, he was a little cautious about all the spectators just walking into the arena. But once we were in the dressage arena, he was all business.
Right. So he came away with confidence then from the 2-day clinic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, definitely.
And what would be your biggest takeaways then, Cindy, from the experience?
You know, like I said, just really in getting the position of the pole was just, I was a little off in where I was riding him. You know, I had him just a tiny bit too deep, which Stephen really emphasized would affect my submission score with the young horse test. That while the gait scores were all fairly high, that where I would get deemed in the test would be the submission score, because the horse was just a little bit too low in the pole and a little bit behind the vertical. So he really made that big of adjustment there. And since I've been home and working on that, it's really improved the horse tremendously just in a week.
Now, did Stephen give you any advice in terms of the program that you have in mind for this horse? Where is that? What potentially he could evolve to be during this coming year? Did he have any advice on what to focus on?
I think he thought we were heading the right direction as far as, you know, shooting for the young horse classes. I indicated to him that, you know, our hopes are that we can, you know, get high enough scores to qualify to represent our country at the World Breeding Championships. That's definitely our goal this year. And he said that he was a super international quality horse and that he had a very bright future. And Lilo Four also agreed, you know, when we finished the second day, she patted the horse on the butt and said he's going to be an incredible Grand Prix horse down the line. So I think they both felt like his potential was huge and limitless. And it's just a matter of, you know, now for me, owning that responsibility of making sure the horse, turns into what I think we all hope he's going to be, you know?
Well, no doubt both you and the horse came away filled with confidence with those remarks taken from Stephen Clark. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that wonderful trainers conference there on the West Coast. Cindy, thank you very much
indeed.
Yeah, it was
so incredible. Thank you. And I really appreciated being able to be a part of it. It was a wonderful opportunity for us and very educational.
Terrific. Well, good luck with your horse and your partnership there for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
And finally, for part two of the two-part series in this education segment, which is taken from the USDF Youth Dressage Sport Horse Breeder Handling Seminar that was held during the 2015 Dressage at Devon. The presenter is Michael Bragdell, and he shares his insights on showing your horse in hand.
I think with a walk, I want to be able to show a free walk, a horse that I like to think of it as, I love the horse to walk through their top line and use their neck and use their hindquarters. So it's not just about the overstride, it's about how they use themselves when they're walking. And so I try to give them enough freedom within reason. So I still have control if something happens. You know, sometimes when you're in riding a test, maybe the horse is easily distracted, and you can tap the rein sort of with your fingertips a little bit. And I think it's a little bit sort of the same way a little bit when you do the free walk. I see some handlers, they try to match the stride of the horse in the walk. If you have a horse that's 17 plus hands and you're 5 feet tall, it might be very hard. But keeping up with that horse, it means that you're also being a little rushed when you walk, and that can sometimes get them a little rushed in the walk. So it's a little hard if the horse is really tall. when I stand the horses up for the sport horse prospect classes, for me, what I look, I like a horse with that has a little bit of expression in their eye. And so even though I might come in with a horse and they're relaxed and their head is down, it might not present the neck that I'd like, or the expression in the face. And so I want them to be a little bit alert, and I want the neck to come up through the withers, or rather than having the neck position lower. So even if the neck position is lower set, I might try to present the horse with a higher neck, make it look more uphill than it actually is. And you can use your whip. I usually present horses with a dressage whip, and I'll maybe flick it in the air a little bit to get the horse's attention, maybe pick up a little bit of sand and drop it on the ground. It kind of gets them a little bit curious. Yeah, if I stand a horse up, I might wave the whip a little bit to get their attention, or tap it on my back to get them to be a little more curious rather than fall completely asleep. You know, I want them to be relaxed and stand still, but I want that expression in their face. You know, the assistant is there to help with that as well. So sometimes I will have the assistant help me get the horse's attention. I think it's important that it is somebody that understands horses, that knows what is going on. And it's important that you have a good rapport with whoever's helping you, that you have a plan before you go into the ring. And so now we're on the profile side. We're walking on a profile. And if we go back to the walk, where the judge is able to see the overstride, see the horse from the profile, and like I talked about, how I want them to walk over their top line, that's things that they're looking for. In the trot, we already touched base a little bit on this, that we want to have that engaged hind leg. We want the horse to trot in uphill balance. I think there's different ways to present a horse in the trot. You know, sometimes I feel a little more contact with the rein presents the horse better. Sometimes with the riding horses, they're used to having a contact with the rein. So then I present them more like a riding horse. It's not that I want the throat latch completely shut and their nose on their chest, but I have a little more contact. And my goal is still to get the activity or the impulsion from the hind leg and make him trot into my reins. In other horses, and I think this goes maybe more for the ones that are younger, like yearlings, where you don't have the reins, they might do better if you give them a little more freedom and not so restrictive with the chain or the lead that you have them on. Maybe you need to be a little bit further away, but still be within reason so you still have control of them. And, you know, even though we're on the ground and we're trotting the horses in hand, I think that's a very important point. You know, when we ride our horses, we use the half hold to rebalance them, to do a lengthening on a diagonal or a medium trot on a diagonal. And a little bit the same thing with the horses in hand. They're more likely to break into a canter or fall on the forehand if we're not able to rebalance them through the turns. And even then, some of them need a little bit help on the long side, on the profile side, to rebalance a little bit as you're going. And I'm sure it's the same when you guys ride your horses. You can't just turn the go button and then hope for the best and it's going to trot in a lengthening all the way to the next letter, right? You're going to have to give it a little half folds within. So I think it's thinking of presenting your horses in the trot kind of the same way might help a little bit. You know, for me, it's great if you can run, but it's not all about how fast you can run. You have to have the feel and a connection with the horse in order to present it really well. You know, I think a really nice way to, a nice presentation of a horse in the trot and the walk is if the horse is almost not aware of you being there. You know, it's just kind of going on its own. And and it looks like it's in freedom when it's moving. Now that's a nice presentation, but sometimes they need a little bit guidance from us without being restrictive. And sometimes when in the trot, if you can sort of clock into the horse's rhythm, it sometimes helps flow a little bit nicer. It becomes a little bit of a connection between the handler and the horse, and you can accentuate the striding even a little bit more, I think, if they really tune into you. Another thing to think about with the handling, and I think this is a little bit of a preference thing for handlers, is where to be when you're presenting the horses. You know, I have sort of where I feel is my best positions to be in a safe place, but at the same time not interfering with the horses when I'm trotting them in hand. I usually stay a little bit in front of the shoulder, but not so far in front of them that I'm running in front of them. Usually I'm right at their head, right beside their head, or a little bit behind their ears. I think everybody runs a little bit different, and it's not, and it might be different from horse to horse as well. But for me, if I'm too far behind the shoulders, if that horse decides to kick out because it's excited or it's seeing a horse it doesn't like, you can kind of be in harm's way a little bit. And same thing if you're too far in front of the horse, if they get spooked from behind or trying to run away from a horse, they're going to run you over. So it sort of comes back to talking about safety. And a lot of you had questions about the whip assistant. So when you do present a horse on the triangle, you are allowed to have an assistant with you in. They can have a lunge whip, but nothing attached to it, no plastic or anything like that. You're not allowed to have a noisemaker or a jar of Tic Tac in your pocket, but they are there to assist you, to help maybe show a little more engagement in the trot, maybe get the horse's attention when you're standing the horse up for the confirmation. If you have somebody that you have worked with before, it does help when you're presenting the horses, because then you know a little bit what you're looking for when you need a little more help, a little more push from assistant handler. And I think one of the things that I stress a lot too is like where does the assistant stand when you're doing the presentation? When you're standing the horse up for confirmation, I like the assistant to be behind me to kind of get the horse's attention with the lunge whip, whether or not they're shaking the whip up in the air or they got the whip down on the ground. It might help get the horse a little curious and get that expression in their face that I'm looking for. Oftentimes in the walk, I might just ask my assistant to just sort of sit back, and I feel like my horse is relaxed. I don't need any help, and so I'll just walk the triangle without any help from the assistant. And then the trot, it just depends on the horse. Some of them need more assistance than others, and some horses you can kind of just quietly follow, but you don't have to do much. I think that being the assistant, sometimes it's harder than actually handling the horse, because you don't have a hold of the horse. You can't always feel what the horse is reacting to or if they're tensing up. So again, I think it helps if you have a good rapport with whoever's helping you. Some people, if, for example, I'm going to use the owners, sometimes they don't know that they don't need to be as close. You know, they'll be right up there by the hind legs, and they'll be cracking that whip. And oftentimes, just the presence of the whip assistant is enough to create impulsion. So depending on where you stand distance-wise can mean a lot. If you have a horse that's reacting or overreacting, yeah, babies, I think, when you're dealing with the foals, you got to be sort of right there with them. And again, it's not that you have to be hugging them, but they are so agile. Their hind legs can twist and turn. They could probably scratch the rear with a hind leg. I'm sure you guys have seen that. So, you know, it's being able, that's times when you really have to be agile and quick and be ready to sort of jump with them. I think the worst thing to do with foals is be at the end of the lead rope and say, I'll just wait till they calm down. Then you're putting yourself in sort of harm's way. It's better and safer if you kind of jump around with the foal. Just quickly on attire, I have my famous white pants on, but I think it's something that looks clean and professional, and you can have your farm shirt on. That's totally legal, but I like something that's solid color. If you have khaki colored pants or white pants, it sort of helps present the horse's legs better. And then for footwear, I run in running shoes. That's the best for me. I feel most comfortable with, you know, anything that you're comfortable running with. Nothing that's exposing your toes or anything. Gloves. I think gloves is optional. I will do either. Most of the time I wear gloves, but I've also shown horses without gloves.
And our thanks again to Michael Bragdell for this presentation. And if you'd like to learn more about showing your horse in hand, you'll find a link to the Introduction to Sport Horse in Hand classes. That's on the front page of the website at usdf.org. And as always, there's more educational material on this topic and others on the USDF's Online Learning Center at eTrack. And that's it for this week's program. Don't forget to check out all the latest news online and via our social media channels on Facebook and Twitter. And not forgetting the new USDF Connection app. Until next week, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.